Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing, my man?
I am doing great, Jim. How are you?
I am very good. The countdown has begun. You are less than 2 weeks from your wedding, sir. Congratulations on the upcoming nuptials.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's been like 15 months since I proposed, and I thought, boy, that wedding seems like it's a long way off. And then all of a sudden it's here. So it time went by very quickly.
Very quickly. And she has not canceled it in the meantime.
No, that's the key right there.
Well, very good. Good luck to you. I'm sure all our listeners wish you the best. Well, you've got one more show before you get married, so we'll be sure to talk about that next week. Let's turn our attention to some college football, though, Dustin. And I'm not sure how closely you followed this, but last week, Penn State, it's prime recruiting season. And guess what? The most high-profile position, quarterback, Penn State gets into a battle with old friend James Franklin for four-star quarterback Peter Bork. And just to add some more intrigue to it, Georgia is the third team in the mix. First of all, Dustin, and this is not, you know, coming from a Penn State guy who didn't get the quarterback, but how it used to be the most important thing, that quarterback recruit you brought in. Just how important is it anymore? And is it even important?
Yeah, I think on the recruiting front, I still think there's a level of importance to it because you never know when you're going to hit the right guy, and the right guy might stick right. Julian Sayin, I think, is an excellent example of this. Well, did he transfer in? Did I get that wrong?
Yeah. Now, I don't think he may have committed to Alabama and then transferred before he even got there. Okay. But I think technically he's considered a transfer.
I think you're correct after I said that. So let me use Arch Manning as an example. How's that? A little bit better, guy who hasn't transferred. Because you don't know when you're going to get a guy like an Arch Manning. So I still think it's relatively important to continue to recruit those high school quarterbacks. But in terms of, like, I don't know, unless you can get a guarantee of X amount of years on your roster, I don't know if it's worth the amount of money that some of these schools are willing to pay. I just think that that's probably, in today's market, probably best used in the transfer portal. We've seen it time and time again. Julian is saying a perfect example, Jim.
Thought I'd bring him up. Good catch.
Right. I think it's still important because you still want to attract the highest level caliber players to your program. It still gives you an edge over some of those other schools, and maybe you can develop your own talent. I mean, over the years, Ohio State's had a mix of developing talent and transfer portal success, so you can kind of strike that balance maybe. But even if you want to look at Michigan, Bryce Underwood was a kid who came in, was an immediate starter for Michigan last season and probably going to be the same again this year. I just don't know if it's a freshman quarterback is worth the cost that maybe, or the investment that it was simply during, you know, when that's what you depended on, when guys couldn't transfer so easily from program to program.
Well, and there's also a difference by the level of the program. Penn State a few years ago, they bring in Drew Aller, a five-star quarterback, and it's like, hey, this is it. You know, we hit the mother load here. Ohio State, they would bring in those high four-star and five-star guys multiple per year. And, you know, you and I have had that discussion where a couple years ago, they had three or four of them on their roster, all underclassmen. And we made the, you know, what's the over-under on how many of them will transfer? And that's just the way Ohio State did it. Bring them all in, let them compete, cream rises to the top, and the other guys will probably leave on their own. But that was pre where it costs so much to bring in a quarterback now. It's not like the other positions. You're putting in a major investment in a kid, and you don't know. Hey, it was just a couple of years ago. You brought up Bryce Underwood at Michigan. I'll bring up Dylan Raiola from Nebraska, who he was the savior, wasn't he, for Nebraska? Yep. Where is he now?
Oregon.
He's no longer at Nebraska. Yeah. And now that's fascinating because he went to Oregon and it's not going to be an automatic starter this first year there. But he's going to sit behind Dante Moore, who ironically did the exact same thing, transferred from UCLA, knowing he would sit for a year. It seemed to have worked out pretty well for him. So it goes to this whole question now of how much has NIL changed it, and have you reached a point, it feels like Indiana has, where, you know what, we're not going to mess around with a high school quarterback. We'll wait till you're 2 or 3 years in, let somebody else train you, let you get your experience elsewhere, and then we'll see how we'll get our pick of the group and bring you in. And so far, so good for Indiana.
Yeah, it's almost like there's not a good NFL comparison to this because there's no farm system, right? But this is the same as drafting essentially a pitcher in the MLB draft and having him play, you know, at the double A level, you know, for a couple of years till he gets into a rhythm. And that's essentially, I think, what some of these schools are doing. They're not, you know, there's no guarantee that in the future they'll get that quarterback. But hey, let's let him go to a UCF. Let's let him go to a Cincinnati or one of those. You know, I know those are power conference teams now, but even if you wanted to throw like Nevada, UNLV, Colorado State, one of those G5 programs in there, that's their developmental league. Let's get them when they're juniors and seniors and see if they can come in and help our program. To an extent, as you mentioned, like they got Indiana got Fernando Mendoza from Cal, but Curtis O'Rourke, who came in and did fantastic, was from Ohio. So the other thing that I think is interesting, this, and I'd love to know how much of this is fact, is I do wonder when you see some of these recruiting battles that are out there, how much of it is Ohio State's in on a guy, but maybe we just want to try to up the cost so that way Penn State has to spend a little bit more money on this quarterback. That leaves them less money to spend on their offensive line, their running back, their wide receiver, their defensive end, whatever the case might be. So how much of it is a little bit of, you know, playing, what do you call that? How much of it is a little bit of gamesmanship involved too, right? So I think that there's fascinating levels to this. I've said for years, this is before even NIL and transfer portal, I believe that there are coaches out there that don't necessarily need a quarterback who are recruiting high 4-star and 5-star quarterbacks. And you're like, that guy's not going to play till he's a junior or senior at least. And okay. But that means if that guy goes to Georgia, then guess where he's not? He's not at Tennessee. He's not at Alabama. He's not at Florida. He's not at South Carolina. So I think that there's a little bit of that aspect to this too. Like maybe we don't necessarily need him, but we don't want Alabama or Tennessee to get him, right? So I think that there's a lot of fascinating things involved here. I just think that what isn't interesting to me is I don't think that the high school quarterback now, I think the quarterback is still probably the most important position on the field, but I don't think the one out of high school is the highest paid compared to the one you're going to get in the transfer market.
That's true. And, you know, that talk about, okay, I'll recruit a kid to keep him from going somewhere else. There was once a time where that was really prevalent. You know, Bear Bryant would hoard all the talent at Alabama, and he'd have the four best quarterbacks, three of them sitting on his bench. Now, it's a little tougher to do that now because it costs you. But, hey, I could offer a kid. Doesn't mean I have to offer him a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So in that scenario, what that paints, though, is a picture of, and again, this is a lot of this is conjecture. There was a lot of conjecture with this Peter Bork, Penn State, Virginia Tech, Georgia. You'll read stories that Georgia and Penn State both really cooled on him. But, you know, if you're Georgia, want to offer a kid and you lowball them, no harm. but you, the agent will use that to drive up the price. Every, you know, football agent now wants to be Scott Boras, the famous baseball agent, and drive the price up. So if Penn State and Georgia really cooled on this kid, well, the agent's not going to let Virginia Tech know that. They're going to play it up as much as possible.
Yeah. And I mean, this is, so I'm going to ask this question because I feel, I find this fascinating, and it's going to depend on the coach. At what point, so every coach seems to say this, every single coach, don't care what program, our guys are not strictly driven by money. We wanted guys who are bought into football, who love football, who are not, but at what point do coaches, what point, if you were a coach, do you say, we're passing on this guy? He's all about the money. Because somebody takes that player at some point, right? And the other coach is good. But, like, you know, there's conversations with, like, you know, this school offered me this amount of money. What can you offer me? To me, that's not a guy that's not about the money, right?
Right.
So I want to know what this balance is. Like, what is the immediate – and I'm not asking for – I mean, you can give me your opinion, Jim, but I would love to sit down with a head coach and be like, what's – okay, you're talking with the recruit. The one thing that comes up that you say, nope, we're not talking to this kid anymore. What is that thing? I just want to know because money's such a prevalent topic anymore.
And, you know, I believe I've told this story on air previously. And, well, we're kind of up against the break, so I'll wait till after the break to tell it. But it's that interesting balance. Do you pay extra for talent even though there's baggage coming?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the scenario. And we at Penn State are seeing a lot of this. There's a lot of three-star recruits now. Depending on how you look at it, Penn State is ranked in the top 10 in recruiting this year. However, it's a lot of it is based on volume.
Right.
If you average it out of their, you know, 15 or so recruits, five of them are four stars and the majority are three stars. And the old blue chip ratio, you needed to have over 50% be four or five stars to win a national championship. Thank you, Kurt Cignetti, for blowing that out of the water. But so, you know, so the big question that you're asking about, Matt Campbell, is this is very much going to be a test case here at Penn State about that whole idea of culture and they're a football player, you know. So we're going to talk about that more when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. We're talking college football, and we're talking about recruiting, specifically about recruiting quarterbacks, but the more general. Dustin asked a great question, which is all coaches say, oh, we wanted a kid who loves football. It's not about the money. And I'm starting to tell the story, not in the 25 season, but the 24 season when Penn State hosted Ohio State. In the press box that day, there were a whole bunch of NFL scouts there, as you might imagine. I won't give names, but I was chatting with one of the scouts who asked me, you know, about certain players, their personalities, their behavior, that type of thing. And, you know, it got into the whole conversation for an NFL draft. How important is that, you know, character? He said, well, if you got an obvious first round pick, top half of the first round, doesn't mean much at all.
Yeah.
But if you go down the draft, there's a, you know, and there's some kind of issue, yes, it's a factor. Okay. And, you know, a little bit later in the game, said player makes an incredible play. He just looks over at me, smiles, and said, well, there you go. You put up with a lot for that kind of ability. Go ahead. Y'all could guess who the player is that we're talking about. But it, I think the same thing goes for high school recruits. You know, you're going to forgive a lot more with a five-star guy. And you're going to forgive a lot more, and you're going to come up with the big paycheck because you're chasing, you know, that superstar, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would think so. But there's been, like, there's been times where, and I know this is not going to be every player, but I feel like Bear Alexander is a good example. And I don't mean to bring up names and stuff, but, like, I believe he was either a high four-star or a five-star quality linebacker. And it just, like, he stopped midway through one of USC seasons after four games and decided to redshirt. Like, to me, that's not a guy that's bought in on football. He had some, you know, he had some issues. I'm not going to speak on any of that, but that's just one example. Like, to me, if you sit out after four games because you plan on transferring, that's kind of giving up, right? Like, that's not a guy who's bought in on football. You have guy, and I look, don't mean to, kids will be kids to an extent, but look at Georgia, and I know they've had a lot of success, but how many speeding tickets, speeding arrests have they, you know, reckless driving?
Way too many.
That's not, those aren't guys that are all about football, in my opinion. So it's just like some of those things are very interesting to me. Where do you draw the line? I would maybe at some point, maybe Big Ten Media Days, I don't know. At some point I can have that conversation with a coach or multiple coaches and say, hey, you're recruiting a certain player. What is it that they say or what is it that they ask that you immediately say, we're drawing the line here. This is done. What's your immediate red flag? Because I do think you're right, especially for some of those programs. Like, so I think if you are, I'm going to throw Penn State into this mix just because they've been successful without the five stars. I think if you are at Penn State, I think if you are especially a place like a Purdue and Illinois, you can say, you know what, we're not going to put up with it. Our fans don't care if we get a five star. Penn State a little bit more probably cares about the five stars, but places like Illinois, Purdue, Northwestern, you know what? We're not going to bring that type of locker room guy into our building because it's not worth it. And our fans aren't going to, we're not expected to get that kind of guy. And in Ohio State, an Alabama, Georgia, Texas, probably have to take that guy, right?
Yeah.
Recruiting is a much bigger deal for those programs and their success in trying to pursue a national championship.
Well, and I think there's different situations where an Ohio State might say, hey, we get that level of player. If a five-star comes in here, he can't, you know, be Cadillac-ing it, and, you know, because there's all these other five-stars here who are going to put him in his place, you know. And the other thing I think that's important to differentiate here, Dustin, is someone going for money and someone who has behavior issues.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, in the corporate environment, people leaving for higher paying jobs is not unusual, and it's easily justifiable. I got to take care of my family, my kids, so on. It makes sense. And we go along with that without any problem. So I don't think it should be different with these kids looking for the best deal. Now, with that said, Penn State, I think, is going to be a very interesting test case because Matt Campbell comes here from Iowa State where they didn't get four-star recruits. They got three-star recruits and coached them up. You know, it was a big culture thing. Now what Matt Campbell says is, okay, we know money is part of that. You know, you're not going to get kids for free, but we don't want it to be the most important thing. So it's a bit of a balancing act. But when Penn State went through this James Franklin to Matt Campbell transition, you had players, you know, say former Penn State players. One in particular said, I was disrespected. Let me translate for you. He wasn't offered enough money.
Yeah.
And that's part of the equation. So now you become a in the NFL, players, hey, he's a year away from getting a huge salary bump. We trade him now. We move on now because we have a budget. Well, that's what's happening in college football. And the way the teams have to look at it, Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is now a two-way street. And I think that some players are probably learning that the hard way, where it's, you know what, you haven't been productive. This is what we can offer you to stay. I would bet that most coaches, unless there's some sort of behavior issue, most coaches probably aren't saying you need to go play somewhere else. There's probably more of, you haven't been productive, this is what we can offer you next season. And it might be a decrease, it may be the same amount, but they may say, we've got to get somebody off the edge who can really help us. That's why this guy's going to make X amount and you're only going to make this amount. You're free to go someplace else, but we have to, you know, set aside money so we can go up and get that playmaker because you just haven't been able to produce at that type of level. So I do think that they're like, look down on for, you know, it's when we record this, I'm only on my first cup of coffee, Jim, so I'm struggling with words, even though I'm a writer. But I don't look down upon anybody that's going out and looking for, I think the best deal, I don't like when players necessarily just kind of shop their potential, but if they feel like they can make a lot more money at another program and that, you know, then that's what we all do, right? Like you weigh the options, you weigh the pros and the cons. And if I'm at Akron and I see an opening at a Penn State and say, hey, I have a chance to be a starter at one of the premier programs in college football. I can make extra money and I have a chance to pursue a national championship. Bingo, sign me up. If there's a guy who's like at Northwestern and goes to Oregon and doesn't play and he's just getting an extra $20,000, I'm just – in some of those situations, I'm like, was that your best decision? So I think it is kind of a unique balance. And I will admit, I think that I'm probably one of those that has a double standard for certain types of these situations. And it's, I think that's human nature.
Well, part of the problem is we don't know all the details. So
right.
Using this, you know, Peter Bork as an example, 4-star, and some of the things that I heard from people who would know, who've interacted with him, with his family, have said, good kid, nice family, they're doing it the right way. So there's been a lot of talk that, you know what, Virginia Tech, James Franklin probably went out of his way to make sure he beat Penn State for a recruit. And, you know, and it's said in a critical manner. I'm not sure it should, because if you're James Franklin and you could establish here on the East Coast that, you know, we could go up against Penn State and get that kid, what does that do in helping? Maybe we overpaid a little bit, but that's okay because it's going to help us recruit other kids too.
Don't you have to set the tone if you're James Franklin? Like, if you want, go ahead.
Nope, absolutely. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought, but you're right.
I was going to say, if you have to set the tone, even if that means overspending, because you have to show to your donors and everybody that's supporting, like, look, this is what we can do if we invest. We can beat Penn State for some of these high-end recruits. And that's especially what you have to do early, because if you're able to win at least some of those battles, he can go and say, think about what we can do if we get a little bit more money. Think about what, you know, and obviously recruiting doesn't necessarily translate to on-field success, but it certainly helps. So if you can have I don't even think James Franklin has to have a great season. Like, they could go 7-5, but if you get some of those recruits, you say, look, I went 7-5. We got some big time recruits. Invest in this program now, because if you can, we can really take off and we can be at the top. The other factor of this too, Jim, is they're at the ACC. Like, anybody can win that league any given year. So there's a lot of reasons for James Franklin to, and probably, and I don't know the situation. So maybe he overspent, maybe he didn't, I don't know, but let's assume he did. There's a lot of reasons why he would want to do that. Not just because it's Penn State. I think that added to it, but also to show your donor and your fans, like, hey, we can do this if you invest in the program.
Right. There's, I think the way to put it is there's a lot of valid reasons for him to extend and go out of his way for a recruit. And on the flip side, if you're Penn State, and this kind of leads to another discussion, Penn State, the very next day after Peter Bork announced for Virginia Tech, Penn State signed a three-star quarterback by the name of Will Wood. And, you know, so the conversation is, depends on which side of the fence you're on. I've read some Virginia Tech folks, yeah, sure, they didn't want the four-star anymore. They wanted a measly three-star. Sure, right. You know, it's sour grapes. But there's more to the discussion. Do you look at both players comparably, and what's the cost of each one? And it also leads to, you know, the star system. Two things that Peter Bork has an advantage over Will Wood. Peter Bork is taller, and he's got the stronger arm. And those things are easily measured by those who are putting out three and four stars. All of the other factors, and I'm not saying that the three-star player is actually better, but, you know, he's not, it's not like he's 5'8". He's 6'2", right. You know, so he's big enough to play college football. May not be that ideal frame like Drew Aller is going to the NFL. He looks like an NFL player, has an NFL arm. Well, you don't have to be 6'5" with a monster arm to be a college quarterback. All right, Dustin, we'll pick up this conversation right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V, empowered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He is Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. And Dustin, we were talking about, you know, quarterback recruiting and how that has changed so much and kind of grew into all recruiting overall. And you've got to now have a pretty good strategy. And I am so fascinated by what Penn State did this year. The Iowa staff comes in. They've got to decide how many Penn State players or which Penn State players to keep, which Iowa State players to bring in.
Yeah.
And you never get the, oh, we didn't bring this guy back because he was asking for too much money. But what we see are examples where Penn State had returning a couple of really good tight ends. One of them came back, one of them did not. And they also had very good tight ends coming from Iowa State. Similar story at linebacker. Two really good linebackers coming back. It felt like they decided this is the one we want to invest in, not the other one. And we could bring in these other guys from Iowa State also. So it's now becomes very much a money management situation, mm-hmm. Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest, that's probably the biggest key right now for people that are in the general manager spot, right? I know we've heard Purdue's GM talk about it. Sometimes I think, and I don't think that this is a fault of his, I think they're very well PR trained. Sometimes they say a lot without saying much. They use a lot of words to say very little, right? But that's one of the things that, you know, he has kind of talked about, like, you've got to be able to balance that budget and make sure that you're making kids fair offers. But then also knowing that you're going to have to pay some other guys because you need to bring in talent. So how do you find that balance and how do you make sure that it's equitable and that you explain that? I almost feel like for a coach, like, in a situation where you're going to a new program like a Matt Campbell, I don't want to say it's easier. I'm sure it's difficult because you don't know exactly. You haven't seen with your own eyes on the practice field or in a game what Penn State has, what these certain players can do. But you can come into the job and say, again, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, hey, you have a place here. I know you were a backup linebacker last year. guess what? We're actually stacked at linebacker. If you want to stay and try to fight for a job, that's great. This is the money we can offer you. If you want to go look somewhere else, that's fantastic. You know, we'll support you. We'll help you get out. I almost think it's easier that you can say, look, this is what we know we have coming in. This is what we know we've got. And this guy's probably going to be a starter. These guys are probably going to be starters, or your position is pretty well secured, right? And that's probably an easier conversation to have at the quarterback spot than any other on the field. But I think I think it's a little bit easier for him to have those conversations knowing what he's bringing with him. Whereas, I don't know, for some of these other coaches, you're bringing in all of these transfer kids from other programs, you're bringing in a recruiting class. How do you manage? A lot of it's going to be, what is your projection? You know, what do you think that this kid who's transferring in from Cincinnati can be more effective on this roster than the kid that you're trying to bring back, or can an incoming recruit help? It's just a fascinating new world. And there's a lot more to it than I think people can appreciate.
There is. And you brought up a great point with Matt Campbell. I think this is the first time that Penn State keeps their coaches around for a while. James Franklin was here over a decade. First coaching change, but it's also in this whole NIL era. And Penn State was dealing with graduates, guys run out of eligibility. A big group went to the NFL. Then you had players who followed James Franklin or just moved on, made themselves free agents. But the advantage, and this was Matt Campbell, I think, being very smart, he kept around Terry Smith, mm-hmm. who was the interim head coach, highly respected. He's originally from Pittsburgh. He played at Penn State. This is a Pennsylvania guy. He's been at Penn State, well-respected. He had someone he could turn to and say, all right, Terry, you know, we're planning on bringing in some guys from Iowa State at this position. We can't keep every Penn State guy who's returning. Who do we keep? Who do we not keep?
Yeah.
Give us the rest of their story, not just their talent on the field, Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, you keep him around for that reason. You keep him around for recruiting purposes. And I think there's also a level you keep him around for the fan base, right? Like they want somebody that they can relate to, who they know who's going to be on staff. I think that he helps probably in the PR department. Obviously, at the end of his run there, when he was the interim head coach, he wore that, what was it, a 409 pin? Or something to that
extent. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So obviously appeasing a lot of different fans there. Like, so I think that is a benefit that Matt Campbell has. And I think that I do feel like there are a lot of coaches that usually keep at least one, maybe two. It just kind of depends, but one or a couple staffers. And I don't know if that's always because they're the best position coach, but I do think that there's how do we get to know these players a little bit better? How, you know, what players can we afford to move on from? Which guys need to come back? And then they also help you get into, you know, where do we need to recruit? What places do we have good relationships with? Which relationships do we need to strengthen along the way? So that certainly is a benefit to keeping a guy like Terry Smith on board. You see that at a lot of different schools where they'll keep usually it's at least one, but there's a lot of times there's multiple staffers to keep on for at least a year or two to kind of get their feet wet. And then if they need to move on, they'll move on. But that's certainly a benefit for Matt Campbell in year one.
Well, he also had, it was a very fortuitous for Matt Campbell in several ways. Terry Smith was the perfect guy. Like I said, again, the Pennsylvania guy, interim head coach, well-respected. He's a very good position coach. Not a coincidence. As cornerback coach, guess what position had the most returning players from Penn State?
What was his position group?
Cornerback.
Cornerback? Okay. I'm going to guess that was it, yeah.
That was it. And what also helped out is the two, Matt Campbell and Terry Smith, had a prior relationship.
Okay.
Terry Smith coaching at the high school level in the Pittsburgh area. When Matt Campbell was coaching at Toledo, he recruited heavily in the Pittsburgh area, knew Terry Smith from those days. So that just helped it. And Terry Smith, if you wanted to paint the picture of the perfect guy to retain, he was it. But you then had to, you know, he had to also mix the two teams. You know, what was he bringing from Iowa State? And he brought 23 players and a very good number of starters at Iowa State who made the changeover. I do want to shift gears back to where we started with the quarterback recruiting, Dustin. And I think we covered really well when you're recruiting a high school kid and what you're looking for and the price you got to pay. But what I think we didn't hit on, though, that I still think is fascinating is, what does your current quarterback room look like?
Yeah.
Are you top heavy? By top heavy, I mean, you know, guys with 1 year of eligibility left. At Penn State, the quarterback room looks like this. Rocco Beck, and they brought in a transfer from a small school named Connor Berry. They're both in their last year of eligibility. After that, three quarterbacks. A redshirt freshman, a true freshman, and a true freshman. Does that not sound like a room that may look at a transfer portal next player next season?
Yeah, I would say that they're probably going to at least look for at least one kid out of the transfer portal, right, to try to get some experience, unless you feel really good about one of those other guys. The other thing, and I think we've talked about this too, to an extent, so you need to have some level of depth at the quarterback, because especially if you think about pursuing a national championship, you're looking at 16 to 17 games, right?
Yes.
So you are going, there's a chance that you're going to have to do that with a backup quarterback, or the backup's going to have to play at some point in the season. That's a lot of games to play without injury. So you want to make sure that you have depth in that room. The other thing is that I still believe that even though it's the most important position, I think even in college, and we saw this even at the NFL, if you want to use, now I'm losing his name off the top of my head, Sam Darnold as the example, winning a Super Bowl, you need to have a quality quarterback, but you can go pretty far with a quality, like a good to average to good quarterback. If you have all the other pieces around you, you have a really good offensive line, you have talented wide receivers, you have a good running back group, like that group can go really far. So I also think that while the quarterback is the most important, it doesn't also necessarily have to be the highest paid, or it doesn't have to, let me say this, it's probably still going to be the highest paid. It doesn't have to be by exponentially higher paid, right? Like if I have $1 million quarterback, you know what? Guess what? I'm paying my offensive lineman $800,000. I'm making up numbers, by the way.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be a ridiculously high number, because if you have a great quarterback and no offensive line or no receivers or no running backs, doesn't matter how good he is. He's getting sacked every play.
Well, and I think a good example of this is 2 years back when Ohio State won the national championship. Do you remember who their quarterback was?
Yeah.
They brought Will Howard, who they brought in, I think, from Kansas State.
Yep.
He was not, this is not a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, but he wasn't expected to. He wasn't the best player on that team.
No.
But he was not, he wasn't going to lose the game for you. He was that dreaded, he managed the game, Dustin.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go back to like 2014 Ohio State when they had to bring in Cardale Jones to win. Like, he was the third string quarterback. But because they were so good at every other position, it didn't matter. It didn't matter how good he, like, whether, I mean, he had to be good. Don't get me, you can't throw interceptions every play or get sacked. But the fact that he was good enough, and they still won a national championship. So that's why I think you need to have some depth in your quarterback room. And that's why I think if I'm a coach, I would value, like, yeah, you want a kid that's elite. You want an elite level quarterback, but I also want some depth in there. I don't want, if I'm Penn State, I think having that, who's the other quarterback you said? The small
Connor Barry. Connor Barry is his name.
Okay, so having a guy like that who you feel like can step up, he's at least got some experience, he's probably played in some bigger games at a lower level, you want that, as opposed to like, all right, well, our starting quarterback got hurt, now it's a true freshman's time to shine. Now, true freshmen, I think, are better now than they were 20 years ago, but you get my point.
I do. All right, Dustin, we've got one more segment to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Dustin. Jim, we're talking college football. Between segments, Dustin said he's got a question for me. We're going to hit that in a minute, Dustin. I just wanted to follow up one last thing because I think you made a great point about bringing in an experienced guy and as that backup. You want a guy who's been on the field in pressure situations. But I also think this has become, if everyone's familiar with Moneyball, you know, the movie was about the Oakland A's, and some people will say Moneyball is about getting walks on base percentage. No, it was about something else, which is the general fact of what is a trait that is underestimated? What's a trait that other people don't value the way they should? And I feel like in college quarterbacking now, experience is kind of that money ball thing. Get a guy in who's been out on the field, seen everything. Now, we knew Matt Campbell wanted to bring in Rocco Beck as his quarterback, but Rocco Beck is like the most experienced quarterback in the country. I mentioned Will Howard winning a national championship for Ohio State. He was the quarterback who they brought in with experience, and you're seeing that now in the transfer portal. Kurt Cignetti's not bringing in projects. He's been bringing guys who've been on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he did. Curtis Rourke was a one-year player. Fernando Mendoza, one-year player. Like, these guys have spent multiple years at other schools. I think Fernando, could he have come back for one more year? I think he might have had one more season left. I don't remember off the top of my head. But point being,
he had plenty of experience at Cal.
Correct. Yeah, he had a lot of experience at Cal. And as you mentioned, Will Howard had a lot of experience at Kansas State. There's a lot of guys that Riley Leonard from Duke to Notre Dame. And he played in that national championship against Ohio State at the end of, or two seasons ago. So, like, it's a very valuable trait. And by the way, it's not even just the quarterback. Like, that's how Indiana won their national championship. All those guys had multiple years of experience playing, whether it was at IU or someplace else that they transferred into. So I do think that is, like, he's rewritten the script. I can tell you right now, and maybe Purdue fans are going to hate this, and maybe IU fans are going to laugh at it, but, like, it completely changed the way Barry Odom has recruited. And he says we're valuing production over potential. And that was Kurt Cignetti's model from day one. So, like, I think that there's something to that. You still have to get the right players. You still have to get the right mindset. But if you've got a guy who's proven he can produce at a high level, you want that experience, because even if you're playing at like a Florida Atlantic, or like, you've had to play some big time teams in some big time games, no matter what the level. So I think that experience is so important and so key, and especially at the quarterback position, to not get rattled in those situations. It's even more important at that spot.
It really is. All right, Dustin, you said you had a question for me. Go for it.
Okay, so we've had this discussion in our house, and I find this fascinating. So, and this is mostly about fans, and maybe this is something you can ask your Penn State people too. This is not specific to them. However, what has been fascinating to me is when we get into this world where paying players is not a big deal, right? Everybody does it. You're allowed to do it. There's a situation where when you're going after a recruit or a guy in the transfer portal, and player or fans will say, we're going to get that guy. We have plenty of money. They get insulted when you say, I don't know if X team has the kind of money. Penn State doesn't have that kind of money. Yes, we do. We can offer X amount of dollars to keep our guys or get this guy or get that guy. Suddenly, when a team is successful, then they downplay how much money that they spent on the team. Have you noticed this trend? Indiana has done it, and it bothers me. They're like, we're not poor. We have Mark Cuban. He's bankrolling us. And then they win the national championship, and they all said, we're not spending that much money. There are teams with $50 million rosters. We spent 20. I'm like, why are you lying? You're allowed to do it. There's no punishment. You think the LA Dodgers are hiding behind their bankroll? No. They're like, yeah, we got a $1 billion roster. Let's throw it at everybody. They're not like, yeah, we cobbled this together. Boy, we're glad we found that extra $10 on the street to get this World Series roster together. It bothers me. Like, I don't care how much you spend. You want a national. Why do you care? It makes no sense to me that teams, and it probably bothers me more that they go from, we've got all kinds of money. We can spend all kinds of money to get these players to, you know what? Actually, this guy just came here because he really likes football. Basically, we had to beg him to take the money. I don't understand it. Explain it to me, Jim.
Well, first of all, I sense just a tad of envy there. From a Purdue guy talking about Indiana. Just a little bit.
Maybe a little resentment in there. Yeah, sure. Understandable.
just a little bit. I do think it's human nature. I think even, you know, using baseball as the example, you brought up the Dodgers. I'm a Mets fan. You know, I don't – well, the Mets are underperforming for their $300+ million payroll. But – that's what, you know, a Dodger fan will tell you. Well, we still had to play the game and manage and look there. And the Yankees have, you know, fans have been that way for years. I think it's the human nature of the fans. And I think when Indiana, the last thing they want to do is lose a player to Purdue because right. They're going to say, we got more money than Purdue. But if you compare Indiana with as much money, you know, they have Mark Cuban money and they do have a fan base that's pretty good. But they're probably still not spending at the level of Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Texas Tech, LSU. I'm naming pretty much the Southeast Conference.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. But there is, I did look at this and he did not name a dollar amount, so I don't know. But he said, I paid for Fernando Mendoza. So you had one guy pay for one player. That hints to me that you probably spent more than what you're alluding to. And again, so here's the thing, Jim. Though, if you're a Mets fan, unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Hey, we're turning it around, buddy. We're turning it around.
There we go. But if the Mets are struggling, they spend a lot of money, I could see a fan being like, well, we didn't spend that much. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you
justifying
could,
it
just to justify. I understand
injuries,
that.
Dustin. We had injuries.
See, if I'm Indiana and I spent $30 million and I go 6-6, I'm probably like, you know what? Actually, I don't think that number's correct. I would get that. But it's when they win it that they're just like, oh, we moneyballed this thing. I'm like, I don't think you did. I think you were doing just fine. And to your point, I agree. They probably did not spend as much as like a Georgia, Alabama, maybe even a USC or Ohio State or some of those other programs. But let's not act like you like piecemealed this team together with bubblegum and duct tape.
Well, no, but I think there's a gray area in between. I do think, and again, this is a little bit outside looking in, you're from that area, you know Indiana better than I do. But I don't think I referenced earlier in the show the blue chip ratio, mm-hmm. which essentially said you had to have over 50% of the players on your roster be blue chip, right. meaning 4 or 5 star players to win a national championship. And many of the best teams, the number is more like 70, 80, even not close to 90%. Indiana had 8%.
Right, right.
Okay. So if you take a look at that, I do think you have to value the scouting. And it's easiest to look at quarterback. Tell me this. A year ago, prior to the season, how many teams were knocking down Fernando Mendoza's door to get him? were Curtis Rourke the year before. They weren't.
Correct.
Give Kurt Cignetti credit, and it's one of two ways you give him credit. Either A, he's an incredible scout of talent, or B, he's a very good developer of talent very quickly, because he only had these guys for 1 year. Yeah. So I think what he is a really good scout of talent. And he brought in, you know, James Madison players, a lot of them. To me, it's like a miracle what he did there. Now, I do think it helps that, you know, Mark Cuban comes in and said, hey, I'll foot the bill for the quarterback that you want.
Yeah.
And that's helpful. And that's not something Purdue, for example, has. But I got to think, you know, the big boys could have matched the money. Nobody else looked to do that for Fernando Mendoza. So I give him a lot of credit for that. And I also feel like there's more, yep, you got to have the talent. You know, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama are always one of the top teams for a reason. Mm-hmm. But I think coaching is still part of the equation.
Oh, it 100%. It doesn't take away what they accomplished. And they did have, I don't want to say a ragtag group, but if you, in terms of like the recruiting rankings and the ratings and stuff, like they did have. And so it's a major accomplishment. It to me is fascinating that there's like this dichotomy of like, well, we have a lot of money, but we don't use it. Well, then what are you using it on? What did you spend your money on? Well,
I think you're, and I guess, and you know this, the fan base for any school, like right now, one of my favorite things, Dustin, is watching in my news feed. I now get not just Penn State news, but if Penn State or James Franklin is referenced in a Virginia Tech article, little hint here, every Virginia Tech article mentions Penn State. Okay.
Correct.
Every single one.
Yep.
So I get that. And the conversations from the Virginia Tech perspective versus the Penn State perspective, it's so much fun to watch and it's so entertaining. And it will be so interesting to follow in a year from now, in 2 years from now, depending on how each team performs.
Well, and one of the things, so I don't make this just solely about Indiana. The other one that like a few years ago, Ryan Day said, well, we didn't have to spend that much money to win a national championship. And it was like, well, you maybe didn't have to spend a ton in the portal, but you had to retain all your players. Like you did spend money. So don't act like, again, you were just sitting on it. Like you did spend that money. It just wasn't out to go buy players. It was to retain players. So, but yeah, there's a lot of that that's just happened. It's one of the funniest things to me. It's off season talk. And it's one of the things that I've noticed in the last couple weeks. It just seems to pick up steam. That's just like, everybody has money when it comes to recruiting and transfer portal, but all of a sudden everybody does it with the tightest budget in college football when they win at a high level.
Coming from a Penn State perspective, if you want to take a shot at Ohio State, now I'm
you'll
with
allow
you,
it.
Dustin. Now I'm with you. All right. That's the final word. Thanks, Dustin. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider. Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.